blessed Lent to all of you. It's certainly a great joy to be with you as we move into our second Sunday of the Lenten season. As I was getting ready, as we were preparing for Mass, I have to admit it was powerful to pray the prayers at the foot of the altar, talking about going up to the altar of our joy. It is climbing the mountain. We celebrate and hear about the transfiguration in today's gospel. So in a real way, as we participate in this holy sacrifice of the Mass, we are going up with the apostles. We are being invited to go up with them, to have the same experience. But in the midst of those prayers, it talks about kind of the sadness, right? Sadness that often comes because of our sin, our weakness, our attachment. And so for us to go up the mountain is not just a following Jesus, but it is this conversion, this transformation that happens, that takes place. To give us, certainly what we are focused on during the Lenten season is that transformation, that conversion, being set free from worldly passions, desires, in order to obtain the glory that comes in and through Jesus Christ. In order for us to continue that path, that journey, we must have our eyes fixed on the goal. And the goal really is the glory that the apostles, Peter, James, and John, come to know, experience, and encounter today. That is our reality. That is what we are called to as well. The Lord wants us to not only know it intimately, but he wants that glory to dwell within us. And so throughout the church's history, salvation history, we have a couple of examples. We know that in Revelation, Mary, a woman, was clothed in the sun. Like our Lord today in the Transfiguration, there was this glory, this light that flowed forth from his face. We know Moses' face glowed, and people were afraid after he would speak with God, so much so that he had to cover and veil his face. And there are other saints that were radiant due to their union with the Lord. And so it's not only that the Lord wants us to experience and encounter this glory that is in him, but he wants that glory to dwell within us as well. St. Leo the Great says this about that glory. The Lord had himself spoken of this when he foretold the splendor of his coming. Then the just will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. St. Paul the Apostle bore witness to this same truth when he said, I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not to be compared with the future glory that is to be revealed in us. In another place he says, you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This glory the Lord desires for us to possess. And so that is the goal that we are setting out during this Lenten season, to do the various disciplines necessary to purify our lives, so that glory may take root within our very lives. So So how might we do it? I would set out that glory reveals itself, I think, most perfectly in those who are pure. So purity is one of the major beatitudes we know that are under attack today. It's possible to be pure and to radiate with the truth, the goodness, and the beauty of Christ. I say this especially to our young people, all of us, but especially to our young people. Purity is possible. Purity is possible. I think many have come to believe that it is impossible. We can blame the culture, we can blame all kinds of things. Purity is possible. And so let us not get discouraged, but let us not for a second think that somehow it's impossible. The Lord can make all things possible. How do we set out on this path of purity? The Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 2346, says, "Charity is the form of all the virtues under its influence. Chastity appears as a school of the gift of the person. Self-mastery is ordered to the gift of self. Chastity leads him who practices it to become a witness to his neighbor of God's fidelity and loving kindness." And so it's under charity, it is in seeking charity, that chastity appears as a school wherein we learn how to give ourselves as a gift of as a person to others. And it's in that school that purity is obtained, and through that, I think it becomes a light, a truth, a goodness, a beauty that radiates forth from us. It takes effort. And then we have temperance as the guiding virtue to help us in the pursuit of chastity. Chastity falls under temperance. And temperance is a virtue that moderates the attraction and desire for pleasure and provides balance in the use of created goods. St. Thomas Aquinas says, "It is a disposition of the mind that binds the passions," which tells us our knowledge, our intellect, needs to inform our passions. And so we all know this, that there are things that are attractive to us that either we know we ought not participate in, or somebody of much greater wisdom, like our parents, tell us, don't do that. Don't participate in that. Don't eat that cookie. Don't watch TV. Don't be on your phone. Don't do these things. Why? Because that initial desire is going to take away the desire for much greater goods. And so if we satiate ourselves with the immediate pleasure and good, we miss out on much greater pleasures and much greater goods, which are much longer lasting in their goodness. And so we have to moderate our pleasures, our attractions. And I encourage you, young people, you have the freedom to do this. Your parents don't need to tell you. Your parents tell you these things in order to help you. But the reality is, you can moderate it yourself. And so, I think in order to work on chastity, we have to moderate the other areas of our life. And in that, we help strengthen our muscles for those times when temptation comes to us in the sexual way, wherein we get distracted and sometimes fall out of chastity. And so I'm going to give three things. We moderate our food and drink. So when we eat or we drink, we should not eat or drink until we are full or fully satisfied. And a part of that is also, do we eat slowly? Because oftentimes we can eat quickly and we get full and we don't even know we're full until we're too full. Now I have to say, I've been to families' homes and there are some who are constantly distracted and they eat for a long time. So maybe they should moderate their slow eating and maybe eat a little more quickly. But, so we are to moderate our food and our drink. And that's not only in the amount that we take in, but it is also, again, it's moderating the senses of pleasure. And so if there are things that we really like, we moderate the amount that we take of that. Maybe we take a little extra of the things that we don't like as much. And again, it's not because the Lord wants us to be sad, but he wants us to long after goods and pleasures that are of much greater heights, like spiritual pleasures, spiritual goods, charity towards others. A second is avoid excess. We've been experiencing warmer weather, which makes us automatically think about spring, and the birds are even confused. Even they are singing, right? So what does that remind us of? Spring cleaning. I know a lot of people who get into this kind of mode of, I'm going to clean house. I'm going to get rid of things that I don't use anymore, those things that I don't need. And they always say, Father, I feel so free. I feel so good when I get rid of all this excess, all this baggage. And so we have to ask ourselves, are there things that we just need to get rid of? And I'm not talking just clothes and toys and different things like that, but even interiorly. Are there things that we hold on to that we think that we need? And it's just excess. We don't really need it. We're going to be fine without it. And then when we rid ourselves and empty those things, don't replenish it. It's easy to start refilling up again those places that we had filled up already with excesses before. And so sitting there in that emptiness, in that poverty, and letting the Lord teach us how he wants to be more present to us in and through those things. And then thirdly, I would say, where do you struggle in practicing moderation? Have a good plan to practice temperance. Maybe you speak too much. In general, you just speak too much. Maybe you don't speak enough. Maybe you don't listen. It's not that you don't hear people. Maybe you're very quiet and you hear people, but you're not listening. Whatever these things are, it's all in regards to moderating our own pleasures. And so where do you struggle in practicing moderation? We need to make a game plan to practice temperance. And so I conclude with, again, Pope Leo the Great. In the preaching of the Holy Gospel, all should receive a strengthening of their faith, No one should be ashamed of the cross of Christ, through which the world has been redeemed. No one should fear to suffer for the sake of justice. No one should lose confidence in the reward that has been promised. The way to rest is through toil. The way to life is through death. Christ has taken on himself the whole weakness of our lowly human nature. If then we are steadfast in our faith in him and in our love for him, we win the victory that he has won. We receive what he has promised. When it comes to obeying the commandments or enduring adversity, the words uttered by the Father should always echo in our ears. This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.